He's probably keeping it in his freezer like a serial killer's trophy.
Hello there, and welcome to the If It Swims podcast, the multi-species angling podcast. I am Brett Bolton. Joining me for this episode, which is episode 2, is Justin Wingert.
Hey man, how's it going?
This month, we're looking at some angling news, talking about some gear, and as always, the fish of the month. But, Justin, since the last episode, you been fishing any?
I have been. I went and got revenge on the pond that blanked me last time. Went back out and fished it in the pouring rain, actually. Had a raincoat and everything. Still got soaking wet. Didn't catch a lot, but we did catch a few. I got a largemouth, couple channel cats. My dad was out there as well with me. He's been trying to fish again more, so I've been trying to get him out there fishing. And he caught like a 5-pound channel cat, which is pretty nice. Not so bad. We didn't get anything huge, but we both caught fish. Had a good time. Felt a lot better about that pond.
So I won't say the brand name because it's uncouth. But I saw the brand name of the rain jacket you were wearing, and I am not surprised you're wet.
It's not the best. It's fine for like a light rain, but for a heavy rain, it didn't work out so well.
Yes, I know. I keep one of those, that brand, which will stay nameless.
We won't name.
In the glove box of the boat, just for an emergency.
Yeah. I think that brand works fine for periodic rain. I don't think it works great for steady rain.
Yes,
but it was the only one I had available. So
I wore that brand through a blinding rainstorm in Alaska once hiking.
That sounds fun.
Not only did it not keep me dry, it just shredded itself. The pants turned into like a hula skirt. And
Mine at least did not have a paper towel effect. There weren't like strips of it flapping in the wind or anything. The rain just eventually penetrated the whole thing, and I was like, well, I guess I'm wet now.
Cool. So yeah, a couple channels and a largemouth, right?
Yep.
What was the largie on?
It was on a Roadrunner.
Of course it was.
Huge surprise to you, I'm sure. Yeah, we're basically just going out for anything we could catch. So we had some corn out for carp and some nightcrawlers out for whatever, and I was flinging a Roadrunner around the weed line while I was waiting and picked up a largemouth on it.
That's how it worked. So last week during the week, I took the If It Swims boat up to a lake north of here to try to get some striper. I knew that they had been pretty nice. Active. I guess they're staging for the spawn.
Yeah.
It was about 30 degrees, 28 degrees first thing that morning. It was colder than I'm used to these days because I'm getting old. But it was nice. It warmed up pretty quick. Not as quick as I wanted, but it warmed up pretty quick. Had a thermos completely jammed full of coffee, which was super, super needed. When I first got there, before it warmed up, I got a couple decent-sized striper, about 6 pounds each, using the electronics. They were still deep. Dead sticking them.
Right.
Have you done that before?
I have not yet.
It is a weird, weird thing to do, let me tell you. But it works. And I got those two. And then as it warmed up, I was able to cast some lures off some points. And I picked up a couple more small ones there. And that's when the If It Swims mojo kicked in.
Oh, what did we get?
Yes. A little 2-pound dink largemouth, which was cool. A couple little smallies, which are
very nice.
too small to even mention. A bunch of white bass, of course, and about a 10-pound blue catfish.
Ooh, sweet.
On a lure.
That's pretty cool.
That's how I like them, right? It's fun that way.
That's always a fun surprise, yeah.
Yeah, and we all know that they eat shad, so a lure is not that surprising, but it's always a treat when you hook one.
Yeah, it shouldn't be surprising because they are predators, but it always seems to surprise us when we catch any kind of catfish on an artificial.
Yeah. Oh, so when the blue cat hit, I really thought it was another decent striper. And then it just started just dogging me straight down. I went, wait a minute, what is this fish doing? Cool. So here's a question.
Mm-hmm.
Have you read any interesting fishing news on the internet?
I've read a few things, yeah.
All right, let's start with you.
You want to start with me? I feel like we've got the same thing going on here, probably.
There's right? a reasonable chance.
So mine is from, I found this on Field and Stream, but there are multiple sources. So I got it from Field and Stream. You'll know right away, it is the 3 13-pound largemouth caught on the same day in Texas.
That is not the one I have.
Oh, interesting. Now I'm curious what yours is going to be.
Probably
I figured it would be this one. Yeah. So from Field and Stream here, we have three different Sherilunker largemouth. So you guys, the Sherilunker, as you know, is a program for large bass to be donated to Texas Parks and Wildlife to selectively breed them to improve the populations, gene pool, etc. These are the legacy class, which have to be at least 13 pounds or larger. One day in Texas, there were three legacy class Sherilunker largemouth all caught together. We have 13.82 pounds caught by Alec Morrison, caught out of Sam Rayburn in East Texas. There was a 13.87 pounds caught by Aaron Seuss from OH Ivy in San Angelo, which has become one of the real hot largemouth lakes in the state of Texas lately. And we have 13.5 by Ben Milliken, location undisclosed. Ben Milliken also claims that it was his fifth Sherilunker in 18 months. So also, according, I thought this was interesting, also from the Field and Stream article, I hadn't realized this, but only 21 of the states in the United States have ever produced a documented 13-pound largemouth. And Texas just produced three of them on the same day.
Yeah, that Texas' Sherilunker program, it's a really cool thing. You know, Texas has been trying for 20 years, maybe longer, I think longer, to breed a world record using by breeding these large fish that people catch. And then they release the fry all over the state.
All right, so that's my first one.
Nothing else on that one?
That's the gist of it.
All right, I'll go here. So here's one related to things I've seen before on the internet. The Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks has removed a local fisherman's state record after investigating a citizen's claim that the fish's weight might not be accurate.
Uh-oh.
Yes. Back in April, KDWP, that's hard to say actually, awarded Bobby Fairhurst with a new state record after he reeled in a white crappie weighing 4.07 pounds.
I'm suspicious already.
No, I'm not that suspicious. 5 days after certifying the record, KDWP received a tip from an eyewitness. The eyewitness said the fish had been previously weighed at a separate location and at one point weighed 3.37 pounds.
Hmm.
So here's the thing.
Yeah.
3 3/4 pounds for a white crappie is
already really big.
A monster, no matter what. I'm still trying to get a documented 2-pounder.
Yeah, me too.
I think I've caught 2-pounders when I was a kid and stuff, but I don't have one documented, so I have no idea. In an effort to, quote, preserve the integrity of the department's state record program, Gabe Warrens reached out to Frankhurst and asked for a reexamination. The angler voluntarily presented the fish. First of all, he still has this thing?
Yeah, what's he doing with it?
Is it in his pool out back?
Is he just bringing his buddies over every day? Hey, check this one out. Look at what I got here, fellas.
I don't know. Is it frozen?
He's probably keeping it in his freezer like a serial killer's trophy. You want to see a dead body?
When the staff used a handheld metal detector, guess what? It went off on the fish. They took the fish to the Topeka Zoo for x-rays. And it was revealed that there were 2 steel ball bearings inside the crappie.
Hmm.
Yeah. So with those findings that resulted in the removal of his record and has since made the fish available to return to Parkhurst if he wants it. I don't know if he's asked for it back or if he wants his ball bearings back, whichever.
Those cost money. I need them back.
KDWP then reinstated the previous state record by Frank Miller in 1964 which is a 4 pound, 2 ounce crappie.
That is still a huge fish.
Yes. And I don't know what the other records around the country are, but 4 pounds, I've seen those numbers before. But that is insanity. I'd like to catch a 4 pound crappie.
Do you think when they reinstate a record, they have to like send out the certificate again? Like the guy who lost the record, does he get a new record certificate in the mail? Like, congratulations,
I don't know.
You have the record.
I don't know. Probably not. But
now I'm curious. 1962, maybe like his grandson got it. Just shows up and goes like, I didn't get any record. What the hell is this? I don't fish.
Right. It's I don't know, but what a crazy story. You know, that's been an ongoing thing in the news in the past few years, too.
Yeah.
I don't know why all these fish are eating all this metal.
So for my next story, this one's a little sadder, but it's also interesting, I thought.
Sure.
This is actually from People Magazine.
Interesting.
The headline is a 22-year-old man killed by shark while fishing for scallops off the Mexico coast. So, a young man named Victor Alejandro Soto Garcia was free diving, scallop fishing, when apparently he was attacked by a great white shark. The shark bit his left leg, gave him quite a grievous injury. His friends they got him out of the water, got him to shore, but it sounds like, unfortunately, he passed away before they were able to get him to a hospital. But what I especially found interesting is the article went on to mention that he was not wearing a shark repellent bracelet, which I had never even heard of. I did not know you could buy shark repellent bracelets. The article then explained that some of them will emit a foul smell that will either deter the shark, or you can even get ones that repel them with an electronic pulse that screws up their senses and makes it difficult for them to hone in on their prey. And they claim that if a person is in that sort of situation with one of these bracelets, they're much less likely to be attacked by the sharks in the area. So that was it's a shame that particular young man did not have one, but I thought the idea of a shark repellent bracelet was a fascinating concept that, as somebody who does not free dive for scallops in the ocean, I had never heard of those before.
That is pretty interesting. I'm pretty sure that when I fish the coast, mm-hmm. I wear shark repellent shoes.
Mm-hmm. Same general idea?
No, I'm just trying to catch sharks and I don't get any.
Gotcha. But yeah, I didn't know. I mean, I've heard of like bear spray and bear repellent devices, but I did not know that we were at the point where we had shark repellent things as well.
No, I didn't either.
Also, I feel like as maligned as the great whites are, I feel like an actual fatal attack like this from a great white is pretty rare.
So for my second, I've got a collection of February's IGFA approved records.
Nice.
Not all of them. Just a few quickies here. And we'll go through those and see if anything's interesting. So I have Kate Mills with an 8 pound, 15 ounce brown trout.
Mm-hmm. That's a good brown.
It's a big brown. Mm-hmm. I mean, they get bigger. Setting the new IGFA women's 4 pound tippet record.
Very nice.
Yes. Caught in Shady Creek, New York. You caught a brown before?
I have caught a brown.
Okay.
I wouldn't think of New York as a brown trout state, but I guess it's far enough north, there's probably plenty of them. But I've caught browns out in the mountains.
The browns I've caught were in New Mexico and they're not even native there.
Yeah.
And the ones I caught were teeny. Like, they were so small, and I'm not a trout guy.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they were brook trout.
Yeah. Yeah, I've caught small brown trout in the mountains, and I have no idea if they were native or stocked or what.
Probably when I was a stocked. Kid.
Probably. Mm-hmm.
So I also have Larry Walker landed a 46-pound smallmouth buffalo while fishing Decker Lake in Texas.
Oh, nice.
To set the new IGFA men's 80-pound line class world record. Now, the reason I put all this right. one on here, I've caught buffalo that big.
Mm-hmm.
You've caught buffalo that big.
Yep. I didn't catch him on no 80-pound either.
Exactly. So why aren't we chasing for the fun of it? Just tippet records, just our line class records, just to goof off.
Yeah, I've heard worse ideas. That strikes me as he was like probably fishing maybe for catfish or something like that. And he caught one. He goes, hey, I bet this classifies as a line record for this giant tube that I'm fishing with.
Ladies, 80's not that big. I use that on the coast.
Yeah, you use braid. That's different.
I'm sure this was braid.
I like the idea of him fishing with 80-pound mono for smallmouth buffalo.
That's weed eater line, sir. It does say dough bait for the bait, so he may be fishing for and it is Decker.
Yeah, true. Right.
Here's a cool one. Brent Van Niederk was fishing the Rio Mari in Brazil. Mm. He landed a massive 37-inch speckled peacock.
Wow.
To set the new IGFA all-tackled length record. They have IGFA has records for weight and length and everything else.
That's impressive.
Well, yeah, 37 inches is a monster peacock. I don't know how big they get, but that's about it, isn't it?
I would imagine that's about their maximum length, yeah.
It's a huge fish.
Peacock is one I have never caught yet.
Really?
Yeah.
I am going probably this summer to catch some.
Yeah, I remember you mentioned that. That sounds like a lot of fun.
I'm not going to South America or anywhere else. I'm going to fish behind Best Buys in Florida.
I mean, that's as good a place as any.
It's full of them.
At least in Florida. Probably catch some weird cichlids and stuff, too. Some Oscars.
That's actually the reason I'm going, is I want Oscars, cichlids never heard of. I want all these fish. I've only caught one cichlid in my life.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've caught two.
I've caught multiple cichlids, but only one species of cichlid.
Well, that's what I meant. Only one.
Yeah.
I've caught two species of cichlid. I've caught, of course, the real grind cichlid, and I've caught a tilapia on a roadrunner, which is really strange, but it happens, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've actually have not caught tilapia, but I have caught real grind cichlid.
They're cool fish, no doubt.
They're very cool. The first time I ever caught one was shortly after I was out. We were living in West Texas at the time, and I was only like 18. And I thought I knew my fish species really well, but I had just moved to West Texas. We're fishing a little river that had some smallmouth in it. I caught a Rio Grande cichlid, and I went, what the hell is this thing?
There's only one cichlid native to North America.
Mm-hmm.
So when you... What are you going to do? Look at this thing. It's what is this thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
That big hump on its head.
Yeah, it's so weird. They're cool. I had been fairly like big into like aquarium fish and stuff. So I was like, it looks like a cichlid, but it can't be.
If you're into aquarium fish, they look a lot like Jack Dempsey's, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
And the last one of these I've got is Levi Michael Dowell, age 15. Landed a 336-pound Southern bluefin tuna.
Very nice. Good job, kid.
Yeah, no
That's
kidding.
That's impressive. That's bigger than anything I ever caught.
Off of Australia. It's about a 1 hour, 40-minute fight. let's see. It says the IGFA men's junior world record for the species.
Wow. So there's even bigger out there.
I'm sure. Which tops the previous record by over 10 pounds.
That's impressive.
It's crazy. There's big fish out there in the ocean, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so let's look at some gear. I've got one thing to review, and it's really not one thing. Spring is coming. So I went and I've picked up a new collection of frogs.
Nice.
I got some normal frogs, and then I got a bit wacky. But I'll start with the normals.
Mm-hmm.
So I picked up three of the Spro flapping frogs in natural green, natural red, and rainforest black. The flapping frog is a little more of a direct retrieve frog with these little floppy feet on the back. It's not quite a buzz frog, but it's a little more built-in action than some of the others.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Sounds also, good. Yeah, it should be fun. Also from Spro, I got the regular bronzeye. And a couple of the bronzeye popping frogs, which, you know, the bronzeye is a pointy one, just for sliding over really, really, really mucky stuff. And the popping frog is exactly that. It's the same frog with a little popper mouth on it to make a little more commotion.
Should attract the bowfin for you.
Well, that's part of the reason I like frog fishing, is there's always a chance, if you're in the right waters, for the bowfin.
It's kind of what I figured.
And then it got weird. Then it got real weird. I picked up a couple of these Booyah Toad Runners, one of which is a tiny one. So it's a frog, but behind it, it has a little propeller, a lot like a Whopper Plopper propeller. So it really is kind of a buzz frog, and that should be a lot of fun to drag through some muck.
I would imagine so, yeah.
And then I found Strike King has some frog lures that are just perch. They are, these things are just, or they call them perch, the ones I got were shad color. They're just shad, but they're in the same soft body as the frogs.
Nice.
For dragging across stuff. So instead of legs, it has this weird tail thing. Mm-hmm. So that should be fun.
Those sound really good.
And then it got real weird. I picked up three Lonker Hunt Yappa rats, a Yappa frog, and a Yappa cicada.
I am unfamiliar with these.
So these Yappas are regular frogs, except up on the very front of them, they have a soft plastic jitterbug style front end on them.
Interesting.
You remember the jitterbugs? Mm-hmm. So it's like a weedless jitterbug that's a floating frog. I've never caught a fish on a jitterbug in my life. Have you?
No, I haven't.
How many times did you throw a jitterbug as a kid?
Quite a few.
Every chance you got, because it goes across the top of the water.
It's cool, yeah. Don't think I ever caught anything, though.
I think a rat doing that motion across the top might work.
Yeah, definitely worth a try.
And then one more. The strangest of all. I found this thing called a Pathfinder Hybrid. Mm-hmm. And I kid you not, the front end is a hard plastic Zaraspook, and the back end is a frog.
Oh, that's weird.
So it's going to walk just like a Zaraspook, except that, of course, it's weedless.
That's pretty strange.
Imagine being able to work a Zaraspook through absolutely any kind of stuff you want.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I'll try. It's shad color, of course. Yeah. So, have I fished with any of these? No. But in the next few months, I will. You know, bass fishing is something I like a lot. It's not my favorite. And I think by definition, and because of this podcast, there is no favorite. I think it's kind of a rule.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's probably the way to keep it.
Yes, but I do have fun bass fishing. And if I'm going to bass fish, topwater is the way to go, isn't it?
It's definitely one of the most exciting ways to catch bass. Big explosion is always a thrill.
That's half the. It's super awesome, isn't it? Oh, also, I replaced my Savage Duck that I lost last year.
Oh, yeah?
To a long-nosed gar.
He's probably still got it.
I doubt it, but it was worth it. So now it's time for the fish of the month. As always, the co-hosts don't know what fish this is, and sometimes we can get real obscure.
Threadfin shad.
Threadfin shad. But our fish of the month this time, for March, is a pretty popular one. This fish has a range across the northern part of North America and a similar latitudinal range across Europe. The world record is 55 pounds, 1 ounce from Germany, unless it's 56 pounds from the Czech Republic. Those are close enough for clues.
I have a suspicion.
Already, huh? Sure. Already.
I might be way off base, but...
We'll get there. That's cool. That's quick, though. There are around 6 fish in this fish's genus. They cover North America, Europe, and one in Asia. And now, the best part is always, nicknames. Now, since this fish covers multiple countries, there's some crazy ones out there. I've tried to put these in order from the least obvious to the most, but here we go. You ready? Snake. Schnock.
Schnock.
Which is Germany.
I kind of guessed.
Schnook in Germany. And for some reason in Germany, snook. Grand Boucher in French. Tundra shark. Slimer. Gator. Freshwater crocodile. Snot rocket. Water wolf.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought so there. I think
I may have been right early on.
Okay, so Jackfish, and the funniest name of all, the Great Northern Pickerel. Yep, you got it right.
Yep.
Of course, Essex Lucius, the Northern Pike. Justin, you didn't know what this fish was. So because of that, what can you tell me about them?
I can tell you that they're a lot of fun to catch. They are extremely aggressive. They have extremely sharp teeth. They are voracious pescivores. They will hit just about anything you throw in the water and move. You need to use steel leader or some kind of other leader to help prevent them from cutting your line if you catch them on light line like I used to as a kid. They taste delicious, but they have Y-shaped rib bones, which make them a pain in the butt to fillet properly. They are a very popular sport fish in America, and I assume across Europe as well. In fact, the fact that they were in the northern half of America and Europe is what was cluing me in originally, because I know pike are popular over there, too.
I thought that might be where you caught that one.
Yep. That's what it was, yeah. And like you said, they have, I think you said, five other fish related to them.
Yes, five other species in that genus.
Yep, they are not as big as the muskellunge or the tiger muskellunge, which is a hybrid, but obviously 55-pound record is huge.
Yes.
You can commonly catch them up to around like 20 and above that as well, but I think about 20 was the largest that I had ever caught. They call small ones hammer handles.
Yes, I like that name.
On all kinds of live bait from what they call sucker minnows up there, which are basically just small suckers, to leeches. And then when you get to the artificials, obviously any kind of a crankbait will attract them. But a daredevil style spoon is always one of the best baits to throw for pike.
That was what I had always heard, always thought. I've never caught a fish on a spoon in freshwater in my life.
However, it was a pike.
However, if I were fishing in lakes that had pike and I had a spoon with me, that is what I would be throwing, just because it seems to make sense.
Yeah, and this is less related to facts about pike, but a fact that you'll get a kick out of because you fished with me before. I very distinctly remember once throwing a huge spoon a bunch of times in a lake where there were a bunch of pike that had been crashing because it was the spawn and they're up in shallow. And I snagged an old tree, and I tried to pop my spoon loose, and I snapped my rod in half.
That seems about right, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. But that's all that comes to mind for pike right now.
You've caught plenty? What's your biggest?
I've caught a lot of them. My biggest pike is probably around the 20-pound mark. I never caught any huge ones, but, I mean, 20-pound pike's still good fish.
Yeah. I've only caught two ever.
Mm-hmm.
And they were both around 5 pounds. And because of where I caught them, there was a hammer on the dock for the pike.
Not supposed to be there then, I take it.
This was on in a glacial pond in Alaska. And that is out of their range.
Yeah. They're excellent eating fish. I remember them being kind of a pain in the butt because of the Y bones.
Yeah, there's a reason some fish are super popular for food.
Mm-hmm.
The reason is not Y-bones.
Yep, exactly. But yeah, when I was a kid, we lived up north for a while. And back then, you know, we would keep just about anything we caught that was legal because I always wanted to eat it. And so anytime we'd catch a legal-sized pike, we'd bring it home. And Dad would complain about the Y-bones, and then I'd eat it.
Makes sense. Over the next few weeks before the next episode, we would like for you to send in your northern pike pictures and stories to FOTM@ifitswims.com. So that was fun. Thanks for hanging out with us. And Justin, thanks for the time this month.
Sure thing, man. Thanks for having me.
We are on the web at ifitswims.com and on Instagram at if_it_swims. All links to find us are available in the show notes, along with links to items covered this month. Our music was written for us by Dallas artist Jeff Hewitt. Join us again next month, and as always, we will see you out there.